God, we invite you in to this place this morning. Already there has been so many preparations made to turn this gym into a sanctuary. And I pray now that we would settle in as we seek to hear messages of how we can become prepared, but more than that, how we can be preparing and how we can be preparers. In this place that now becomes still, may we settle in and may you prepare the way for us to listen and to learn and to be open to be changed. In your name we pray. Amen. So we are in our second week of Advent. And as Steve talked about last week, Advent is a time where we intentionally enter into the themes of this season. We come this morning, hopefully, with this expectant hope in our waiting. And we join with many other people who waited expectantly over years, over centuries. We join. I think often as people of faith, when we read scriptures, we are wise to take time to enter into the stories and to find our ways in the narratives through the different people that we find ourselves in the story with. And so this morning, we're going to meet two people, and hopefully we'll get to, as we get to know them, we will weave our lives into their lives. We will learn the lessons that they were learning, and we'll see what happens at the end. And so first we meet Zechariah. And Zechariah was a man who was joined with his wife in waiting. And when I say waiting, it's waiting. It is years and years and years of waiting. They were waiting for a child. So we meet them in scripture earlier on as a couple who were childless, but who were longing for a child. And scripture talks about they had already reached an old age. And so I think that they had stopped waiting expectantly. I think they had probably given up. And so we meet with Zechariah in this story of Advent, of preparing the way for Jesus' birth. And we wonder with him, where have we maybe given up waiting expectantly? Where have we stopped holding true to a promise or holding on to a promise of God? And where have we stopped waiting? And the beautiful thing in our faith is, and in Jesus, is that when we stop waiting, that doesn't change the ways of God. It doesn't change the promises of God. God's process of living through us and into this world is not stopped by when we lose faith or when we give up. And so Zechariah had also awaited the day where he would be called in to go before God. He was of a priestly genealogy. And so he came into this place with God. And in that time, the angel came to him and said, your wife is going to have a baby. And so that dream that had been dying or maybe even died was now resurrected. And Zechariah has to figure out what to do with this. I encourage you to read the full story on that because it turns into a time when Zechariah questioned. He wondered as he waited for this promise to be fulfilled. And what was spoken to Zechariah is a promise that he would have known of. The waiting for the Messiah was going to come through his lineage. And so we join Zechariah when he's saying that's impossible. And then all things are made possible through God. God worked a miracle in Zechariah's life to provide the announcement of what was to come, the coming Messiah. Zechariah meets his 8-day-old son, John. He lifts him before God and says a blessing over him. And he says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising of the sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace." So this is the message that Zechariah was given from God and then spoken over top of his son. And if we look at this, this is the way of Christmas, that we wait in Christmas to see a new light. And in the time of Zechariah, nothing like this had happened before. God was visiting his people, coming to dwell amongst them, and nothing would be the same again. And he was coming to save his people, and he was coming to release them from their fears, and he was coming to forgive them of their sins, and he was coming to guide them on a path of peace. But at this moment, when Zechariah is speaking over his son, John is simply 8 days old. He's just a little one. And his father knows and believes that God is going to do a work through this son of his, that God has called his son to do something. But once again, Zechariah has to lean into the promises of God, and he has to go into a place of waiting, of seeing, of waiting expectantly. And I believe that's where we meet the story of Zechariah again in our own lives. So we believe, we desire something, we pray for something of God, we wait expectantly, our expectant waiting fades, and then it rises up again, and then it fades again. But the promise is still working. God is still working into that. And it talks about that John, when the Messiah comes, that the shadows will flee away. And that's what we're waiting for as we wait, that shadows will flee away, that light will come into those places that feel shadowy. And so Zechariah says, he promises this, it will be light to those who are in darkness. Through the preparing of this sermon, I got to know John the Baptist like I had never known John the Baptist before. I hadn't really spent much time thinking about John the Baptist. And I really, really like him. And I really, really like what God asked him to do in his lifetime. So John the Baptist is a prophetic figure who prepares the way for the coming of Christ. He's the voice that calls out into the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." As the Watson so beautifully sang for us, it says, "Prepare ye of the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." The song they sing is from God's Spirit, and it keeps saying that over and over again. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And that's what John was doing in his lifetime. He was sent from God to bear witness to the light that was to come. And he's this transitional figure. His mission was to make the nation ready for the coming of the Messiah. He was a prophet. He was a preparer. And he was a preacher of salvation. He was a key figure in the preparation of the Messiah's work. And so we can really sum up in a word who John was. He was a preparer. And it was prophesied that over his life, he would prepare people for the coming of the Messiah. And John, through the work that he did, he was instrumental in turning many to the Lord, in making ready a people prepared for him. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. These are the words that John sent out in front of the people as he was preparing the way of the Lord. And I've thought a lot about that, about what does it mean to join John in being preparers? How do we do that? John wasn't pointing to himself. He was a really humble man. He recognized that he must grow smaller for the coming Messiah to grow larger. I remember when Mallory was probably in early years of high school, and she realized that when someone of fame or of stature gave a speech, that they probably hadn't written that speech. And it was shocking to her. And I remember her saying to her, "Well, why don't they say, 'Thank you, Mark, for writing this speech?'" Because that person was not the one to be recognized. They were to be made smaller, doing what they were supposed to be doing, to allow the one who was meant to be there, the greater one, as it were, to stand. When Jesus appears, John is actually more popular. It is the people who are gathered around John. The crowds follow John. Their focus is still on John. But all of a sudden, John gets out of the way and he points the way to Jesus. And he gives permission for Jesus to go beyond himself. John the Baptist is a story of courage and conviction, and it's seen through his life as one of the greatest prophets who gave everything to prepare the way of the Lord. It begins with a blessing at John's birth when his parents were ages, as we talked about, and that prepared the way for John to go. And so how do we prepare the way of the Lord? Morgan's going to put up a slide that I have appreciated the words of this week. It says, we too are called to look beyond and to see ourselves as part of a body of people who are gathered by the good news. Like John, we are also sent to share the good news so as to help open the horizon of possibilities that lead us all into God's eternal love. Pope Francis reminds us that when we know Jesus, we are moved by his example. We want to enter fully into the fabric of society, sharing the lives of all, listening to their concerns, helping them materially and spiritually in their needs, rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep, arm in arm with others. We are committed to building a new world. And centered in the love of Christ and the peace that he gives, each one of us has the power to change the world, one small action at a time. As most of you know, on Wednesday mornings, this gym becomes a breakfast club program where we welcome 80 to 90 children from the community. And sometimes I wonder, what are we preparing the way for? And so 2 weeks ago, I met a new girl. And this girl, her name is Faith. And Faith came to us, and she came wrapped with a hoodie over her hood. I'm going to find Kathy Watson. Is she here? Oh, sorry. So Faith came with a hoodie. And Faith came right near the end, where our build-a-lunch table was practically empty. It had been a really busy day, and we were left with almost nothing. By 9 o'clock, usually the kids are heading out because the last bell that rings is Forest Hill Public School. And Faith came in about 9 or 8:56. And as Faith came in, I greeted her, and I welcomed her table, and I said, hi, I'm Catherine. And Faith stayed behind her hoodie. And I said to her, welcome to Build a Lunch. Can I offer you a muffin? And Faith stayed covered by her hoodie. And so I did some things that we do at Build a Lunch as we were starting to clean up, and Faith stayed in front of me. And I said to her, would you like a muffin? And Faith took the muffin. And she took a bite of the muffin, still covered by the guise of her hoodie. And she took another bite. And she said, oh, this is good. And she took another bite. And another bite. And her hoodie came off. And she said, did someone make these muffins? These muffins are really, really good. And I asked her her name, and we talked for a little bit. And I said, we're here every Wednesday morning, Faith. If you would like to come back and join us, we'd love for you to come. Have a good day at school. And this week on Wednesday morning, Faith came, and she brought her siblings. Three more children came. And she brought her mom. And she brought three of her neighbors. And I wondered, how did that muffin prepare the way of the Lord? Another young girl that we love to be with on Wednesday mornings is Zara. And Zara gave me permission to tell her story as well. And Zara, about a month ago, came and she was eating breakfast. She's one of the earlier groups of kids that comes, and she was sitting eating her breakfast. And I said to her, "How was your week?" And she said, "I had a great week." I'm like, "Oh, why was it so great?" And she said, "I made my parents proud." And we got to listen to how her report card had been really good and she had worked so hard, and she knew that what she had done is made her parents proud. The following Tuesday night, when we come to prepare lunches for the Wednesday morning, Zara was out in the computers. And I went and I greeted her and I said, "Zara, how are you tonight?" And she said, "I'm not very good. I'm not having a good week." And I said, "Well, you want to talk about it?" And she looked up and she said, "I think I do, because I think people from Wednesday morning are safe people." How is God using Wednesday mornings, using us to prepare the way of the Lord? There is a quote on the slide that Morgan's going to put up. And it aligns with what we're asked to do in joining John the Baptist, that we are to prepare the way, and we are also to step out of the way. And it says, when we step out of the way, such a request tradition is courageous for a number of reasons. It requires that we remain trustingly unattached to outcomes, leaving the transformative work to God. It requires a commitment to the art of waiting, most likely beyond what lands under the tree on Christmas morning. It requires an openness to let our darkness and doubts become timely and relevant teachers as we offer them to God. What got me from this quote is it probably speaks to some of my doubts or insecurities of what it means to be the preparer of the way of the Lord. What are we doing when we come and serve community suppers, when we worship here, when we do a Build a Lunch program? How are we preparing the way of the Lord? The Build a Lunch program matches my personality perfectly. I am in my happiest place every single Wednesday morning. I love kids. I love energy. I love a lot of people. I love storytelling. I love greeting and meeting. I'm in my element. And every so often, I can step back and say, is this just for me? Is this just my happy place because it feels so easy? And this fall, what's happened is, as we hear the stories coming out of Wednesday morning or community supper or your lives, we recognize that we go in there and we do what we love to do. Whatever you love to do, when you put it out there, you are preparing the way of the Lord. And then we need to step back. And I can't be attached to the outcomes. I don't know what's going to happen in the name of a muffin. I don't know what happened in Faith's life when she took her hoodie down. I don't know what transpired in her week when this past Wednesday she comes back with no hoodie on. But I know that we are preparing the way because God, when he looks at Faith, says, "Faith, don't hide from me. Don't wrap yourself in this feeling of not being welcomed. You are welcomed. Open your heart for me. Take your hoodie off for me. I am here and you belong to me." So we join the story of Advent this morning. And we can look around in our own lives and say, who has prepared the way for me to the Lord? How am I preparing myself for this season? And how am I being a preparer? And we know that the promises that come out of this season, that God's light will shine upon us and guide us in the way of peace, that message is for you, and that message is for me, and that message is for all of those that God is shining light on the path that they will walk. Pathways are an important part of this Advent season. John goes ahead to prepare the pathway of the Lord. Some of you may have favorite pathways that you like to walk, or you may have pathways that you're thinking you're going to take, pathways of education or career pathways, or pathways in relationships, pathways in your faith. They may be physical pathways, pathways through your neighborhood, or pathways to school, or pathways in a favorite forest or by the waters. Some of those pathways are so familiar that we could do them with our eyes shut. They're that familiar to us. And they're already level, as it were, before us because we know our way in that. We know what's around the corner, or we know what hill that we're going to climb next. And we also may have memories along those pathways, a place where you saw a deer, a first kiss on that pathway, a moment where you had a deep awareness of God's presence or a meaningful conversation or family fun. And there are other pathways that are far from familiar to us, and they come as physical pathways, and they come as pathways in our faith journey. And they're not easy, because there are rocks and there are trees that have fallen, and the rain has muddied the way and has made it slippery on the trails that we want to walk, and sometimes we injure ourselves or exhaustion sets in, and we just feel too cold or maybe even too hot to keep on going. We don't want to keep walking this path, because we don't know where it's going to. And John the Baptist is saying, I am preparing a pathway for the Messiah. In Isaiah, it talks about a pathway. It says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things that I will do. I will not forsake them on the path. And Psalm 22 says, you, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. Proverbs 4 speaks further of the pathways that we are invited to walk on. Listen, my children, accept what I say. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. And so the mystery is that all the way back into the early writings of the Bible, God is already revealing that a pathway will be made, and the light will come on that pathway, and the pathway will be where we do not stumble. And yet we go onto those pathways sometimes. And when we're on those pathways, our task is to go back to the messaging of Advent and to recognize that the way that John was preparing for ways that will be made straight, and the ways where darkness or light will shine through that darkness. Advent happens on the calendar now, but Advent can happen all year long. Advent, I believe, is any time we go into a waiting for the new, where we are preparing our hearts for the Lord to come, where we're leaning into the promises with trust, but also where we have some shadows. And so that is this morning where we join Zechariah, where he said, this is impossible, but God made the possible happen. It's where we join John in being the preparers of the way and believing that as we prepare the way, that we also can step aside because it is God that we are preparing the way for and God that will do the transformative work. So I invite us on this Advent season to become preparers and to be preparing, and also to be prepared. As we go into communion this morning, we celebrate something that Jesus also did with his disciples to prepare them for what was to come. And so may we be prepared as we go into communion. Let us pray. God, I thank you that there is mystery in you. God, I thank you that your image is within each one of us. And as we become preparers of your way, it is your image that we want to reflect to others. God, I thank you that there is mystery in what you invite us to do, that we are to join John in preparing the way of the Lord. And so, God, may we be confident that as we prepare with something as small as a muffin, with whatever you ask us to prepare with, that we know that we are preparing the way for you And you are the one that does the work. God, thank you that you are preparing us. Thank you that you promise to make smooth the roads that are rough in us, that you will bear light on the places that are dark, that you invite us to wait for that which seems impossible. For this biblical narrative tells us that all is possible. Prepare our hearts and our minds now as we continue our journey to your table. In your name we pray. Amen.
This next song is a newer song, and it's about entering into the presence of the Lord. So I invite you to spend some time, just as Catherine was talking about, preparing your hearts for the Lord as we sing this. And you're welcome to stand or remain seated as we go through this song together.
Carried them.